Who are the top five wide receivers in the NFL? That's right. Today we're covering wide receivers. We've covered every other position. And now we get to the really juicy stuff. Also, what's going on with the NFC South? Can Tampa run it back, or will one of the other three teams reverse their fortunes? And also, it finally happened. Brandon Ayuk demands a trade. We're going to break all that down today. Don't go anywhere. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides. Good evening. You are listening to the Fumble Rooski Podcast, brought to you by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Web Consulting. I'm your host today, CJ Medeiros, and with me is a special guest and longtime fan of the Fumble Rooski Podcast, Ian Mullern. Ian, how are you doing?
I am doing great, CJ.
Nice, nice. So we have gotten a lot of new followers. We have over 11,000 now since you have last been on. So can you tell the good people listening at home a little bit about yourself?
So yeah, I mean, I go to Brookdale Community College. I am studying to be a halftime analyst, maybe not for the NFL, but most likely college sports, maybe college basketball. So yeah.
Nice, nice. Great to have you back, man. So first and foremost, before we get to our usual stuff, you know, our division previews and our positional rankings, we got to address the elephant in the room. And that is finally the star wide receiver of the San Francisco 49ers, Brandon Ayuk, has demanded a trade. So for those who don't know, here's the background. This whole offseason, the Niners and Ayuk have been doing this weird little, like, will they, won't they dance about, oh, look at that. The Niners said they're open to negotiate. Nope, Ayuk says they're lying. Now, like, it's all been on social media, and you've seen, like, how Ayuk is like, oh, they said they don't want me. And the Niners say, okay, well, you're not coming to the table. After all this finger-pointing, Ayuk finally ripped the Band-Aid off and requested a trade. This is per Mike Garofolo. So I guess we'll start off with the obvious one, because we see this more often than I would care to admit. Ian, where do you stand on this? Is he actually going to get traded, or is this going to be one of those things where they always end up patching it up?
You know, this kind of reminds me of a Deshaun Watson situation where – maybe not him playing for a long time. No, nothing like that. But what I mean by that is he could either demand a trade or he could hold out until he gets his money and not play a year. See, this is kind of a tricky situation because, you know, other teams, good examples are the Patriots and the Jags, desperately need a guy like Ayuk. But my only question is this guy a wide receiver number one? I mean, the guys he's had around him, even Jennings, Debo Samuel, I feel like, and George Kittle, I feel like they've made Brandon Ayuk look better than he already is. I think he's a tremendous athlete, but the real question is he a number one wide receiver on a bad team or a good team?
Yeah, so statistically, I'm just going to break it down. Last season, he had 75 catches for 1,342 yards and 7 touchdowns, and, you know, had a Super Bowl appearance as well where they just decided not to use him. But while on the surface he's a wide receiver one, I don't know why, but something about him has always felt off.
Off, yeah. I feel the same way about him. He's
it's like, yeah. It took them this long to finally start using him and start targeting him. You got to remember, he was in Shanahan's doghouse for like the longest time.
Oh, he was.
We weren't given any explanation for it. So I just.
What did he have his first season? Was it like 900, 800 yards, maybe somewhere in that ballpark?
I'm going to check that.
Because I can't remember. I think it was less than 1,000, but I could
be. Well, I know it was. But
I think it was.
But yeah, like they've only, like, as of two seasons ago, just started. Okay, here we go. His rookie year in 2020, he had 60 catches for 748 yards and five touchdowns.
I knew it was in the 700s, somewhere in that ballpark. Yeah, I mean, I think he can be really good. I just think injuries too can kill him. I've seen that happen.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, but I mean, he only missed one game this season, so I mean, well, knock on wood that he can stay healthy.
You know, but you know what team I would honestly, seriously, I've seen this before, but it kind of makes sense now.
Yeah,
I would honestly trade him to the Commanders. You could pair him with Terry McLaurin.
Yep. And he has a good rapport with Jaden Daniels as well.
I think, it honestly, that might be a little controversial, but I think it's just a good fit because, you know, even if you went to Jacksonville, that division, believe it or not, still has better defense now that L'Jarius Sneed has joined the pack there. And then you got Derek Stingley.
Yeah.
I think if you want to really go, I mean, I'm not saying the NFC East doesn't have great defenses, but I would say if he wanted to kind of break out more, I would put him over there.
Yeah, I can see that. I can. But whether or not he gets traded, you know, that's its own thing in and of itself. But at the end of the day, for me, here's the million-dollar question.
Okay.
What can they get for him? Because I have heard or I've read that the Niners at minimum want a first-round pick. However, when you think about it, the Niners don't have any leverage. The player does not want to be there. Frankly, I don't know if he's gonna, but I would not personally be shocked if he held out. And he wants a new contract. So when you get the fact that the Niners have no leverage and Ayuk wants a new deal, I just couldn't tell you how much leverage the Niners have.
I know where you're coming from. This was like an Antonio Brown. Well, at the time when Antonio Brown went to the Raiders, that was a short stint. But I think... Overall, I think that's reminding me of that situation because on one hand, the Niners want to get good value, but at the same time, they really don't have any leverage. You were 100% correct. So if I were trading for him, I would say maybe you could get a first for him, but I would say like maybe a first, two thirds, and maybe a solid young player.
That's the thing. If he was under contract and this was more of a salary dump than an unhappy player, I would say possibly. But it's the fact that not only, let's just say hypothetically, you have to give up a first rounder. Not only would you have to give up this first round pick, but you would then have to give him a massive, probably over $90 million contract.
Yeah, I would say.
So in a way, you're paying twice. So especially because I've heard New England, at least some of the guys on this podcast, not really me, say, oh, we got to go in and trade for him. But I don't see teams being willing to offer a first. I'd say like a second is probably what they could get.
I could see. That was just kind of, I was trying to get a little bit realistic there. What I mean by the two-thirds is, yeah, I think maybe you could go either that trade I said, or you could go like 2 seconds, a third, and probably some random player.
I could definitely see that. I really could. I could probably see like a second and a mid-rounder. Second mid-rounder, maybe a player. But I don't know if they're going to get a first. Like I said, solely because they have no leverage, and with every passing moment, it becomes blatantly obvious that Ayuk does not want to be there.
Oh, I don't blame him. I mean, Jennings played really well in that Super Bowl, but I think the main problem is that for Ayuk was they were just taking him away. That's what the old Patriots used to do. They used to take all the best targets away and force the most mid guy on the team to try to step up. That's kind of where Ayuk was, and I think he's a perfect, like, he could be a deep, he actually is a deep threat. We've seen him make ridiculous catches. But I would say if you put him in, like, an RPO offense, like, if you have a good cat, like, a back who can catch, and you put him in an RPO type of situation, and you use him as a deep threat there, I think that would be a perfect situation for him.
Yeah. So before we move on, final question. You know, let's just have a little fun here. If he does get traded, let's assume he does, where do you see him going officially?
So, because I have to eliminate the Jaguars now because of the Trevor Lawrence contract.
Also, they did just draft Brian Thomas Jr.
I think he's good, but I'm not that high on him. I think he's got a lot to prove to me, but doesn't mean he can't prove me wrong. Wow, this is really tough because before, if the Bears didn't get Keenan Allen, I would have said Chicago. But now it's more realistically, I have to say New England. I mean, if you really look at it, most teams, even the Falcons have solid wide receivers. They have Drake London. We'll bring that up later for the top five. But, you know, it's targets like that. I mean, if you want to go into – I could either see New England or – Here's one I'm going to throw out there. Green Bay.
They do need a true one. So this is why I'm saying
Green Bay. Romeo Doubs stepped up last year. I think if Jordan Love had an Ayuk to throw to, because I don't think he got extended, right, Jordan Love? Not a big contract?
No, he did. He did. Pretty big deal.
But I think, honestly, you give that would make that division more fun. So, yeah, I would say Green Bay. Trade him to Green Bay. Have Justin Jefferson, Brandon Ayuk, Jordan Addison. That'd be make the division more fun, if I'm being honest, and competitive.
Oh, yeah, I could definitely see that. As for me, it's not what I want to happen, but I feel like he's probably end up going to Washington. Literally just because of the Jane Daniels connection, but that's just me.
Oh, yeah, I could see that too, man.
Yeah. So, with that out of the way, we're going to be moving on, and we're going to try to break down who the top five wide receivers going into this year are, and I know you're not going to want to miss that. So, please stick around. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides. Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast, brought to you by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm your host, CJ Medeiros. With us is our very special guest, Ian Muller. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. We are going back to our player rankings. And today, we got a juicy one. The top 5 wide receivers in the NFL going into next year and basically what we're expecting them to do.
Okay. I have to say, number one, I mean, it has been a while since I've talked about wide receivers, so this is one of the most broadest areas in the NFL.
True.
Number one, I still believe in him even after the big contract extension. Give me Justin Jefferson. There is nobody after what I saw last year with those incredible catches, I have to say besides Mike Evans with consistency, this guy has been constantly a threat all year.
It's true.
I have to, you can't, you cannot put him at number one. Like, it'd be a crime not to.
All right.
Number two. Well, this is really hard. I have to like think of this list really tight. Jamar Chase. I have to say Jamar Chase. I have to move him there.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I do. And I agree. He's in my top five as well. You know, but I mean, I don't really want to spoil.
I might have him a little high there, but I think overall it's really how you look at it. You know, I think when Joe Burrow comes back this year, he'll have a way better season. I just think he has a lot more that he wants to prove this year. So that's why I put him at the two slot.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I get that.
Number three, give me Mike Evans.
Underrated pick. I agree. He is, you know, Mr. Consistent.
He just is. You cannot put a guy like him. I mean, you know what? Number four. Damn, this is really, really hard. Number four, I would have to say I'm going to get a lot of backlash for this. I am. But, you know, you guys can clown me in the comments. I don't care. Nico Collins. I have to give Nico at four. You know what?
Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell.
I like Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs. But I think I was going to say Diggs. But here's the thing I like about Nico Collins. This All guy, right. When you expected this team to do nothing last year, this guy had over 1,000 yards receiving. He just broke out. He had like a Derrick Henry type of performance almost where you didn't expect him to really do much. You're like, is this guy good? And he pops off. So, yeah, Nico Collins, athleticism-wise, he's a beast. But you know what? Diggs will whine for the ball. But if I want a player to go up for a game-winning catch, I'm taking Nico Collins, 50-50 ball all day. He's good at that.
All right, yeah, you certainly got that ability, and you're number five.
Give me Diggs. I'll say Diggs.
All right, two Texans. You think Texans got two top five receivers?
I think they do. I think they do. Honestly, these guys might have not just two top five guys, but I think they also have a guy maybe in the top 10, top 15 in Tank Dell. So, yeah, I believe in this receiving core.
Fair enough.
I want to hear your top five. Who
hit it? Mine varies wildly, but my number five, and I don't care what people say about him, give me Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Oh, my God. How did I?
It's fine. It's all good.
You know what?
You had to do this on the fly. Nobody's holding this against you. Don't
I worry. Was going to put – he. I love it. The only reason I probably did not put him in my top five only is because actually he proved everyone wrong. He actually played through an injury last year, but
exactly. He did in fact play through an injury.
Can he do it consistently? That's why I'm saying heading into this year, yeah. I don't know what I'm going to get with him. He's a very roll a dice type of guy.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely argue that. But for me, what it comes down to is everyone tries to diminish what he can do and say, oh, but he's just a slot guy. Well, this just a slot guy got 119 catches, 1,515 yards and 10 touchdowns. And when you consider the fact that I would argue on that Lions receiving core, not including the tight ends because Laporta has a case, but I don't think there's really anybody on Amon-Ra's level. So, yeah. Give me Amon-Ra St. Brown in my five. Moving on down to number four, it's Tyreek Hill. Now, Hill is somebody that I'm very iffy on because, one, they just gave a new contract to Jalen Waddle. And, you know, Waddle's probably going to say, all right, I got a new contract. Give me the ball a little more. And Tyreek Hill, for skill positions at least, has reached that dreaded number, 30.
You know, that's why. But the reason mm-hmm. I put my top five like this was I was – okay, you guys can definitely roast me for the St. Brown. I will give you all that. That was terrible how I missed him. But the only reason I'm just doing it based off of rising talent that I'm seeing.
Okay, fair.
I'm seeing production go up from a guy like Nico Collins because those five guys I proved have a case for wanting to do well.
Yeah. I mean, hey, no complaints from me over here. But yeah, so Tyreek Hill is just, I mean, don't get me wrong, he's good, but he's got a very big handcuff at Jalen Waddle, and you know he's still gonna eat, but I'm not gonna lie. Him being 30 does spook me a little bit. And I'm not entirely sure if he still can be like a borderline 2K yard receiver with a bunch of touchdowns. I mean, I'm sure he can be, but I will see. My number three is from the Cincinnati Bengals, Ja'Marr Chase. Okay. Now, this man here last season had 100 catches, 1,216 yards, and 7 touchdowns. And I was really debating putting him top two, but I honestly wouldn't be shocked if he actually did end up being top two because there's a very real chance that T. Higgins is shown the door. T. Higgins, there's a chance. I wouldn't say it's more likely than not, but there's actually a real chance that T. Higgins is not in a Bengals uniform come week one. And other than that, you've got Andre Iasivas, you've got Jermaine Burton and Charlie Jones, but nobody other than Higgins is remotely on Chase's level. So, yeah, you got to give me Ja'Marr Chase. Not to mention with a completely healthy Joe Burrow, oh, he's going to be a problem.
Okay, who's your number two?
This hurts me. This really does, but my number two is Justin Jefferson. Just hear me out as to why.
I don't I'm not mad at that. I've heard many things about it. Interested in who one is after this.
Okay, just hear me out. So as you know, he only played in 10 games last year, coming off an injury. But despite the fact he only played 10 games, he still had 68 catches, 1,074 yards, and 5 touchdowns. I know what you're thinking. That's pretty good. And he's going to be completely healthy going into this season, so that's going to be fine. Counterpoint, we don't know for sure. So not only is he coming off an injury, but Jordan Addison, who plays alongside him, has proven that he can be a capable wide receiver one. And he, much like Jalen Waddle in Miami, is going to be looking to get the ball even more, regardless of the fact that this man should not be trusted with the car keys. But that's another argument for another day. I had to do it. But the injury concerns me. Addison and even guys like TJ Hawkinson.
Did he get arrested again, by the way?
He did.
He did get arrested again.
Don't let NFL players have cars. You know, you got him. Rasheed Rice, Henry Ruggs III, like we're not, no. But once that's neither here nor there. But it's not about the fact that Jordan Addison, even TJ Hawkinson are going to start gobbling up some of his targets. And it's not even about the injury. For me and Justin Jefferson, about why I don't have him at one, what's the QB play going to be like? Because you either got a rookie in JJ McCarthy, who I think is greatly overhated. But he's not going to come out and be like Kirk Cousins, I don't think, who Kirk Cousins is a borderline top 10 guy. Borderline. But and if he doesn't start, let's just say J.J. McCarthy's not ready. You got the mono man himself, everyone's favorite, Sam Darnold. Oh, my God.
This guy, you got to remember something about Sam Darnold. Look, you could hate Sam Darnold, but this guy did something that very few guys could ever do, And that's take the Panthers to a, I think it was like, excuse me, like 7-10 season. Something like that. And this guy, I mean, you got to give him credit. I mean, look, this guy can actually do more than you think he can. And if anyone hasn't watched J.J. McCarthy behind the scenes, Go watch J.J. McCarthy.
This is obviously going to be the best receiver Darnold's ever played with. Heck, these are the best two receivers he's ever played with. And by the way, I don't count what happened in San Francisco because he never started. Yeah, that's the only reason why I'm not bringing up Samuel or Ayuk for Darnold.
Well, I think, honestly, J.J. McCarthy is going to be better than people think. And everyone's like, you're so high on this guy.
I think so, too. But still, he's just a rookie, and he's still got to learn. That's the thing. It's just the big question mark at quarterback is why I'm a little iffy. My number one, this hurts me a bit, C.D. Lamb.
Oh.
Now, here's the thing. I know us NFL fans outside of Dallas, we like to clown the Cowboys, and I do it too. But, I mean, 135 catches, which I believe led the league last season, 1,749 yards and 12 touchdowns. That speaks for itself.
That's really good.
He has two things going into that really favor him next year. First and foremost, the wide receiver that's going to play opposite him is Brandon Cooks, who's pretty good. However, I don't think Cooks is even remotely near his level. And Cooks is, I'm not going to say approaching the end of his career, but he's getting a bit long in the tooth, shall we say, which for those of you who don't know, means old. I mean, he's hitting, once again, the dreaded 3-0.
You know what? I'll tell you why my top five was the way it was.
Can I finish?
Yeah, go ahead.
Real quick what I said about CeeDee Lamb. So the thing with CeeDee Lamb is that he's in a contract year. And you know the norm. When guys, especially wide receivers, are in contract years, they ball out. They go absolutely balls to the wall, and it's going to be scary. So the fact that his wide receiver, too, is a 30-year-old Brandon Cooks, and he's in a contract year, I mean, I'm pushing all my chips to the center. Give me CeeDee Lamb at my number one. So what was your point about your top five again?
So a lot of people base a lot of top five off stats. And I will agree. If we were just – I agree with stats. Stats are important. But here's what I also based my top five off: playoffs. I literally looked at guy like, if you're talking like first round, I mean, Nico Collins played well in the playoffs. Mike Evans played well in the playoffs. Ja'Marr Chase usually balls out when he's in the playoffs. I mean, these guys I name, even Justin Jefferson, these guys can pop off at any time. I mean, even Diggs, well, not always in the divisional round or the big part when he needs to win it, the AFC championship. Or the NFC championship. This guy, not all the time, but still. I think that's why I said that.
Yeah, fair. I get that. I do. And the thing is, for me, this is really more regular.
Tyreek Hill did squat in the playoffs. He did nothing last year. Like, if you watch that game, I get it was in the snow. They did nothing.
It's true.
That's just my point. Okay.
No, I get it. I do. And it's a valid point to bring up. However, that doesn't mean that we don't have to move on, which we do. So our final segment here tonight will be our preview of the NFC South. Who's going to take that division? Well, only one way to find out. Listen to us, of course. I kid, kind of. But please don't go anywhere. This is the Fumble Risky Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Risky Podcast, brought to you by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm your host, CJ Medeiros. With us is our special guest, Ian Mullern. And here we go. It's our final segment. You know the drill now. We're doing our previews. And today, we are previewing the NFC South. And with us to help break it down, like I said, is Ian, our favorite Panthers fan. So what do you make of your division? I'll just pass the baton off to you. Let's hit the ground running here.
This is the most annoying division in football to predict. Yes, we are probably the worst. Actually, factually, we are the worst division in football. And this could go 100 different ways, but I think Tampa Bay is going to take it. Tampa Bay is going to take this division.
All right.
Tampa Bay is just something, just the weapons Tampa Bay still has, and this guy, the guy they drafted, this guy was not only my favorite running back in the draft, this guy is a machine, Bucky Irving. And if you haven't watched this kid, oh my God, this guy will run through 2 or 3 guys. He is a freak of nature, that guy. Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely going to help Tampa, and not to mention
build up the play action game.
Oh, yeah. Also, not to mention that Rashad White was taking some steps last year, so they could have a good 1-2 punch out of the backfield. And Tampa, you know, Baker broke out with them. You still got Mike Evans, still got Chris Godwin. You know, defense, no more Devin White. No more Carlton Davis. But, I mean, you still got guys like Levante David and Vita Vea. So, and you got Winfield back, so you can't complain too much. I get that. But I just – this division is so weird because, I mean, Tampa aside, let's back it up, put on the wide angle here, and look at the other teams. First and foremost is New Orleans, and I told you this off camera, and I'm going to say it now on camera. I have never seen a team that is the spitting definition of mid be convinced that they're contenders. And every year, you know, you got Mickey Loomis all like, hey, look at me. I can pull off some cap wizardry and keep us competitive. Like, no, you're not competitive. No one takes you seriously.
And you cried after a game, too.
Yeah, and that, too. And I just, your quarterback is the past's prime, Derek Carr. And you just, I don't know what the Saints do. They do, like, every offseason, they do so much with the cap just to stay in the mid-tier. And that's not going to change. They're always going to be good, but not great. And until things change, that is how they shall remain this season.
You know, I will never deny, yeah, they are very mid. The only thing the Saints have going for them is their somewhat underrated defense and their offensive line. But
that's all. If Ramchek is healthy, let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, if their O-line is kind of reminds me of the Lions before they had Dan Campbell. They were very kind of mid, but their O-line was still very good, very solid, and kind of like the Browns, too. They were like that for a long time. So, I mean, they could break up, but it's hard because you got a team like the Falcons as well. The team who probably had made the worst draft decision. You had Dallas Turner at number 8. You had the best edge rusher in the whole draft, an animal. You could have brought him back to where he played college ball. But no, you let Minnesota steal him, and I don't know how that guy still fell that far to this day. But
yeah,
Drafting Michael Penix after giving Kirk Cousins that huge contract? What are you doing?
Yeah, the Falcons.
Bijan Robinson, Drake London.
They're a team.
But the question is, what is this team going to do with Raheem Morris, the coach?
Yeah, that's my big question. So first, real quick, I'll address that god-awful Falcons draft. It's not even the drafting of Michael Penix. It's that they then spent their second-round pick on Rook Arroro, or however you pronounce his name. Rook, if you're listening, I'm so sorry. I mean, you got Braylon Trice in the third round, but then literally every other pick was just subpar. And even beyond that, they do have a good team. You know, you got Kirk Cousins, you got Bijan, you got Drake London. They also got Darnell Mooney, Kyle Pitts, and say what you will about Raheem Morris, but he's a head coach that can actually, you know, utilize his talent. And that's something that the Atlanta Falcons have been lacking. And while I do think anyone would have been an upgrade from the scourge of Atlanta there, Arthur Smith, I do have to mention that I'm also not 100% sold on Morris. Do I think he'll be an upgrade? Yes. Do I think he'll use the talent? Yeah. But would I put them in conversation to actually go out and win the division in its entirety? I don't know, because this isn't even his first stint with Atlanta. The last time he was here didn't exactly go so well, but I don't think that's going to be as big of a problem as people think.
Well, everyone also forgets this about Raheem Morris.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in this division before. He was with Tampa Bay years ago. I can't remember. Sure. I can't remember if he was. I thought he was the head coach, but I could be wrong. But I think what gives him the edge is he knows this division. And so does Dave Canales. And the huge question is now, where do I stand with Carolina? I can say Carolina can either come out on second or they could come out on top. Third being the worst. I don't see them being last in the division again. I see this team better. Their O-line's better. Deontay Johnson, very good addition. One of the best route runners in the NFL. I mean, and you also got, like you said off camera earlier, Xavier Leggett.
True. So the thing for me is just that the Panthers are an enigma, because on one hand, I really do like the hiring of Dave Canales. He was behind the Geno Smith resurgence in Seattle, and he was behind the Baker Mayfield resurgence in Tampa Bay. But as a head coach, we'll see. I do like him, though. It's just, as we all know, being an OC to a head coach, that is always, always a big jump. And I will say that this offseason, they went to the draft and they went to free agency, and they did go out of their way to get Bryce Young some help. You know, they drafted a new running back, a new wide receiver, and a new tight end, you know, in the form of Jonathan Brooks, Xavier Leggett, and Jatavion Sanders. And, you know, they beefed up the O-line a little. That's good, too. But I feel like they've definitely taken many steps in the right direction. I don't know about contending just yet, but much like you, I'm kind of tilting towards Tampa to take this division.
Yeah, it's just a very, very mid-tier division. It's not. But here's the wild thing about this division, is everyone calls it the worst division, but this team actually, this whole division overall has, well, here's a joke for a second, actually has more playoff wins than the Dallas Cowboys have in the past couple of years. I mean, even the Panthers do. When the Panthers went, at the time when it was 16 games, 7-9, with Cam Newton, one of Ron Rivera's last stints, he made it to the second round of the playoffs. So, yeah, Dallas fans, how does it feel that one of the worst divisions in football still has more playoff, even the Buccaneers have more playoff wins?
Yeah, but yeah, no, once again, just I feel like Tampa's the most established team and probably the most talented on paper. So, yeah, no, once again, it's got to be Tampa, I think. But so that's, once again, that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, I 100% agree with you on that. I mean, there's nothing really much to say about this division, except it's either going to be really tight this year or it's going to suck. Hopefully it's not like that from years ago when the division was so bad. I think they had like six or seven. Oh, that was the same season.
That was fun.
That was horrible.
But yeah. Oh, that takes me back. However, we do have to wrap up here. We are past the 40-minute mark. So do you have anything else before we end the show here?
No.
Alrighty then.
Sums it up.
Good stuff. All right. So that'll do it for us tonight. Thank you for listening. We have new episodes out this summer on Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, be sure to check out our YouTube channel, and we also have all of our episodes available on places like Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. And please follow our Instagram page at FumbleRooski_podcast to keep up with our podcasts and the latest coverage on the NFL. We have over 11,000 followers. Please, follow and drop a like as well. So that'll do it for us here. So we will see you next week. Over and out.